Hello, everybody. My name is Rune Aldred, and welcome to Nerdgasmic Goodfellas Presents the Drinking Corner podcast. I'm your proprietor for this evening's episode, and I am accompanied by the one and only patron of today's episode. It's your boy, Chris. Say hi, Chris.
Hi. Ba-ba-ba-bam.
So we are going to have a special episode today. Being the fact that the group's not here with us, we're not going to be doing any games where we compete against each other or topics where we're competing for points. We're just going to have a nice, good, casual discussion. And since we are in the month of October, I felt like it was very fitting and to correlate with the R&R podcast. It was good to correlate and talk about some horror games. You know, we're all gamers here at this channel, and hopefully the audience that we pick up is somewhat gamers. Outside of the occasional alcoholic, because we call this podcast The Drinking Corner, which people probably assume is about drinking, but still. Nonetheless, today's episode is going to be focused on horror games as we talk and discuss them, what our favorite ones are and what not, and what makes a good horror game. Kind of like a previous episode we had. But before all that, before we take our first shots into the episode, Chris, it's your boy. How are you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing just wonderful. Feel good. I'm ready for this podcast. I've been looking forward to it all day. Ready to talk about some horror games. How are you, buddy?
I am doing very good. I'm really happy because this is like the first week in a very long time that we've gotten to both episodes of each podcast, both R&R and Drinking Corner. That being said, I should like announce that for anybody listening to this, there is a video format version that you can find on the Nerdgasmic Goodfellas YouTube channel. That is NerdgasmicGoodfellas, Nerdgasmic Goodfellas YouTube channel. You can find the video format where, as of right now, you can just see me talking to a blank screen because Chris don't have his camera on because it's too dark. But, you could also find the video format of R&R on the Rune Eldred YouTube channel. Again, we do video formats and audio versions that you can find on all your podcast listening services like Spotify, iTunes, and all that. But yeah, I'm excited. This has been so far a really good month. I'm really happy that even though both podcasts are doing the same topic, it's a nice, chill, relaxed version. I have everybody that messaged in what their favorite horror games and their parts of the discussion who couldn't be here. Because as we know, Mr. Retro just had surgery, so he is out of commission. Rosger is the boss Foss, can't be up super late because of his job. He works at like 7 in the morning. Lil Crow, I thought, would have been here, but he hasn't replied back to any messages yet. So he's either asleep waiting for his job in the morning. And X-Sane Assassin works nights, so he is always indisposed when it comes to podcasts. And Whiskey and Bry is 2 hours ahead of our current time, so he is not a part of this episode either. But hopefully we could get him in on a future one. So it's just me and you, Chris, but that's okay. It's about time we had a me and you episode, right?
I don't know. I don't think we've ever had one. Well, maybe. I think we've had a few.
Maybe just a couple. We had the one where I interviewed you to introduce you to everybody, but that was for R&R. But yeah, it kind of sucks. We have not reached the goal that I set for the channels at all in terms of like the amount of episodes we were going to do. I will say I am happy that like still as of right now, as of the recording date, the Drinking Corner is still a 4-star podcast, which is very surprising. But thank you guys for anybody who listens and actually does the ratings and everything on Spotify. We appreciate it. Find our social medias and leave recommendations on what you guys would like to hear us all discuss, talk about, and or participate in doing as challenges on the podcast to dictate who becomes the next host. So I think it's time for our first shots, which I will say I am very sorry, Chris, but I am... you can't even see it. The cock size shape, for those of whom who are watching the vidcast version, that is being green screened out, is a pineapple ace craft cider. That is what I'm going to be drinking on during this episode. Chris, I do know that you are on a cleanse right now from the sauce. So what is
Yes,
it that
sir.
you are drinking in your ways of bettering your health?
Apple juice. It's delicious. Unsweetened. So it's good for you.
Yay.
Yeah, just some good old apple juice.
That's good.
And I got a thing of ice water right here as well.
Oh, I should have grabbed water. I'll probably do it during an intermission or something. But yeah, let's jump into the first shots and let's talk about the topic today. Same as with R&R, we're going to be discussing horror games. We have no real limit on how many we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a wide variety. We're going to talk about horror games that we personally have played and enjoyed, that we like, that we've seen be played, etc. And we're also going to talk about why we like them, what makes them really good horror games, and in general, what makes a good horror. Because horror is a very broad category. You got straight in your face, graphical jump scare horror. We got psychological horror. We have just a broad spectrum of horror. So, do you want to start off and you'll list one game, I'll list the game, and then we'll just talk about everybody else's game. We are not going to be talking about Razgrizz the Boss Foss's games though, because that you can find over on R&R.
Well, I guess I'll start off. Kind of a, cliche game, I guess. The first Outlast. I really, really enjoyed that game.
I
I
find it
played
funny
through.
that you're jumping right out the gate with Outlast, because the only game I got in response from ex-Saint Assassin was Outlast.
Oh, really? It's such a good horror game because I'm not the craziest fan of like kind of in your face horror, which it can be at points, but I really like the suspense to that game. It got I was always on edge. I felt like I was a crackhead. I was I it, but it was so good. Like running from from the patients and stuff like that. It was just it got me going. Got my heart rate going.
So I have played
Points.
all three. I do find all three vastly different. The
Oh yeah.
first Outlast game is like really good horror because it did a really good job of the cat and mouse mechanic of you not being able to fight back. It is
Exactly.
literally an intense game of hide and seek, and I feel like that was one of the elements that really made Outlast shine against its competitors when the game first released. And it is became a staple of the franchise because every game since has been like that, with the exception of, I feel, Outlast Trials.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that. It's, I mean, you can use it as like, face me, you foul creature. It's mainly for the, either get the fuck away from me or to, get them to
Distract.
go over there. Yeah, to distract them.
Because, yeah, I don't think there was anything you could use in Outlast 1. I don't know if I'm remembering that right or not, but you didn't have like things that you could smash against someone's head if they grabbed you,
No,
or
from the top of
stuff
my
you could
head,
throw to
yeah,
distract them. It was
because,
very much just you ran and hid in a dark
yeah,
shadow.
exactly. It was, man, it was always the ones when you had to climb into like a vent, and sometimes it's just right there, and you're like, climb, climb, climb. Like, gets you, jittery and
Yeah,
shit.
when you're sitting there, I think another game I'll mention here later does a really good job of that, where it's like you need to get somewhere and you're like, go, 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 go. But your guy's like moving slow enough to where you know the threat is like right behind
That
you.
you can smell,
You could
you can
feel
smell them, yeah.
it
You're
crawling.
the breath on the back of your neck and shit. Oh God, it's just, yeah. Sometimes when I'm playing horror games, I gotta like pause it for a second, and I'm like, oh my goodness gracious, just fucking give me a second. Outlast
And I
had those
feel.
points, man, where it was like every corner you turn, something was going on. So it's like, dude, can I like have just a minute to breathe for a second? But that's what's gets y'all hyped.
I also feel like Outlast 1 did really good with that too because of the mental asylum location. It wasn't like we had really weird things. John Walker and like the doctor and some of the bosses were more of the weirder aspects of the game. Other than
Yeah.
that, a lot of the enemies you ran away from were just insane asylum patients.
Yeah, and they
John
were
Walker, who stalked you,
scary
was
as hell.
petrifying because he was a big, buff, naked dude.
Yeah.
The doctor was petrifying because he just was so small and like bony.
Well, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Now that we're back from that intermission, which I went and got that water that I wanted during that time. So, yay. Thank you for having to go do something. As I was saying, though, with Outlast 1, the enemies, again, were just normal inpatients and like. The worst you had was John Walker, the what was it? The Nightwalker? Night Stalker, which is the name of the spirit that like haunts towards the end of the game. That was
Yeah.
also bad. But then you had like Outlast 2, which had more
The cult.
grotesque horror as well.
Yeah.
Grotesque and religious horror. Because it was a religious cult. That your wife was like birthing the Antichrist, but it was also a psychological horror because, like, you don't know if it's all really happening because you're having psychotic episodes and breaks. But it was also, I feel like, a little bit more grotesque in terms of the enemies. Like, when you're doing the flashbacks to when you're in the school and the monster that stalks you there was very grotesque and hard to look at,
Yeah.
which was the point. But and then with like Outlast 3, its horror was there when we first played, but now I especially this is how I feel. I don't know about you or Retro or Roz when they play, but it's like I don't have fear when I play Outlast
No.
Trials.
No.
I mean, when
Nah.
something pops out, like there are moments where I get jump scared.
Jump scared. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't really find it as eerie as when I first played it, which that was the least, even when I first played it, that was the least that I've been scared in an Outlast game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just more, it's more to-do list kind of shit going on, which was pretty much the first two, but the first two had a little bit more story things going on, which Trials does, but not a whole lot. Like
I want.
when you beat that first section,
So
like where you beat Annie.
when you're by yourself, there's more anxiety and fear because you're alone, you have isolation. But I definitely feel that when you're there with friends, especially when like if people were to look at our Outlast videos, there is a lot of us just goofing off and being like, "Come at thee, foul creature of the night! I summon thee to a fight." And then we beat the bitch over the head with a fisticuff and we're good. Or like some examples of funny horror in that is we're like crouching around, walking around the police station, running away from Goyle, and we turn a corner and you just got Big Dick Randy's package right in your face. So it's like there is a different sense of horror in that, which like I want to jump into Outlast Trials some more, even if it's just kind of like me and you playing, or just me, you, and David, or
Yeah, because I still really like that game. It's still
well,
fun.
it's not the fact that I really like the game. We are not done with the game by any means. We ran through all the trials and we got released. Yes, we beat the chunk of what the game is about, but we have document files to find out the story and get more of the lore because Outlast Trials was a prequel to 1 and 2. It takes place in the beginning. And like the documents we find explains shit that happens in the first two games. And it's like, I want to know more of the story because that's important to me. Like, I love Outlast because of the story that it tells and like the whistleblower project and everything else like that. Especially since a lot of people were left confused with Outlast 2, and Outlast Trials actually answers those questions from 2. Because it mentions the location and the cult specifically. So yeah, I think I give you a round of applause, Chris. Outlast was a really good opening one for that. And I think for my first topic game choice
Can I
is going
guess?
to take a wild guess. Take a stab in the
Okay.
dark. And it relates to Outlast.
Okay, because I was gonna say
In
Dead
terms of,
Space, but I think someone else has that one.
so I don't know if you have the chat pulled up for the group,
Oh,
but
I could see it when you clicked it and it popped up. So Dead Space.
yeah. So for me, I'm gonna talk about Dead Space 1, the 2008 version, because I have not played the remake yet, but I have played 1, 2, and 3, and Ignition. Seen the animated movies, and as of right now, I'm also getting the books to read as well because I love Dead Space. I love the story. I love spaceship. But even though you the horror for it is very claustrophobia horror, the Ishimura, the first game specifically, the Ishimura is very claustrophobic. And it, especially for me as a player, like I don't do well in tight and closed spaces for horror or in real life. So it gave me a lot of anxiety knowing that like any random corner I could have a necromorph jumping out. There was just a lot of tension moments that really made the game enjoyable. And the very beginning of the game relates back to what we were saying with Outlast, where it's like you get segments where you just have to run. And you can't fight the monster that's chasing you. And the opening to Dead Space does that when you first get introduced to Necromorphs. Because it just. Yeah, God, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like no matter how slow Isaac is running, you know it's right behind you. And even when you get into the elevator and you turn around to hit the button, you're sitting there frantically being like, close, 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 close. And then when the elevator door does close and you have that moment of just. Ah, you get jump scared by the like knife arm stabbing through the elevator door and prying the elevator door open to where you're just instantly re-grabbing the controller for first time players and being like, fuck, what am I gonna do? Come at me, you foul creature of the night. I'll bitch slap the fuck out of you. And then the door just cuts its head off, and then you get your plasma cutter, and then you start building up slowly to take on new threats with each mission. And yeah, really good.
I've never played it before.
Dead Space has kind of grotesque horror as well because the necromorphs are very mutated creatures. And they're very, I don't want to say they're hard to look at, but they're just repulsive. And they're alien. They're foreign, they're alien, repulsive. The claustrophobia of the Ishimura itself matched in with just the dark atmosphere. The remake has done it a lot better by making the dark atmosphere even more immersible. I know at one point you said you wanted to live stream the remake, and I 100% think you should do it just because you'll have fun. And even though you haven't played the original Dead Space, the remake is so faithful to the original story that you'll love it and you'll actually get more out of it because they added stuff from the animated movie into the remake.
Oh,
So
okay.
there's more to it. They expand on the first game a lot. And it's just it's good. I've seen it be played by Mark. I've seen a lot into it and I love it. So yeah, that's my second one. We're not talking about Rosgrizz, so we will jump to Whiskey and Bry, who, very funny enough, his game choice was Dead Space 2, which I am going to allow because I specifically just talked about Dead Space 1, and 1 and 2 are vastly different. It's one of the few times that a sequel surpasses the original. But Dead Space 2, it's very much more open. The atmosphere, as Whiskey and Bry says, is perfect. The combat was emphasized a little bit more and perfected. He says horror games don't get to him much, but there is a mission that was in Dead Space 2 that literally made him shit his pants and have to set the controller down for a hot minute. Which Dead Space 2 does have like another stalker enemy like Dead Space 1 had, but it's a lot more intense. And then, as I mentioned beforehand, it was just perfected. Everything that was good with 1 was perfected in 2. And I don't know why, but the game was made scarier by not restricting you to the Ishimura and being in a tight, confined space. Like, Dead Space 2 is a lot more open, but it's a lot more frustrating it being open. Because now
Yeah.
there's more spaces, there's more shit happening. And then, even like halfway through the game, you go back to the Ishimura. It was great.
Oh, that's cool.
Mr. Retro didn't give any reasons as to why, but his first recommendation is a very retro game coming out on the Super Nintendo or the SNES, and it's called Super Ghouls and Ghosts, which I think I know what it was. It was like an 8 or a 16-bit side scroller. But
It's called what?
it is called Super Ghouls and Ghosts. If you want to take a quick look it up, I have a message
Yeah,
that I
that's what
need to read.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. And this is a horror game, I would assume.
Yeah, that's what he's putting it down as.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Sorry, had to message me mama there for a second. But yeah, his first one is the Super Ghouls and Ghosts for the SNES. All right, Chris. Oh, actually, you know what? I'll do Exoshi Moshi's one, which is Logan, since I don't think you were ever introduced to Exoshi Moshi. Let me just type this into where I'm messaging these. And his is Soma. Have you ever heard of Soma?
No, I have not.
So it is, I think, free on Game Pass. It is really good. I have actually played it. It reminds me a lot of Amnesia. Do you know what Amnesia is?
No, I do not.
All right. So it is a cyberpunk horror game in which your character, I think he actually has amnesia. But he goes to do a medical trial and gets pulled into this kind of futuristic cyberpunk dystopia where AI has gotten corrupted and became like killer machines. I've never played and beaten the game, but it has a good story from what Logan has told me, what Zoshi Moshi has told me. He's a big fan of it, and it's like his all-time favorite horror game. Because of
Okay.
the story, because I guess the story is very emotional, and it's very like, what the fuck? It's more of a psychological horror, because the game even allows you to disable the enemies to where they walk around but they don't kill you,
Yeah.
just so that way you could experience the story. Because the whole point of Soma is the story, the narrative.
And it's called Soma?
Soma, Soma.
Soma. Okay. Wrote it down. Give it a try.
But it's funny because X Saint Assassin is mentioned, Outlast. Both me, Brian, and Logan have all mentioned Dead Space. Retro's in there with an actual retro game, which fits and matches.
A horror game that Well, a game that felt like a horror game sometimes, which it wasn't nothing that was too scary that happened, but BioShock some at some points, man, felt a little eerie. You know what I mean?
Is that going to
The
be your next
whole,
game?
no, not necessarily. I kind of just wanted to bring it up. It, like games sometimes that aren't supposed to be horror games that I think can get scary sometimes. Points of Red Dead Redemption 2 and like the swamps and stuff. This shit got creepy. Any games that come to mind that aren't scary but kind of get, you know, eerie sometimes?
Thief.
Thief?
Thief.
I remember that game. I've never played it, but I remember
So there is
watching
a
it.
the whole entire game has no horror elements until you go to an insane asylum for one of the missions. And it immediately, I remember playing it in front of my ex-fiance, because it wasn't one of the games I was recording, it was one I was playing for fun, so she was watching. And we went to the insane asylum that's supposed to be like empty, and one of the patients like jumps out and like climbs the wall all
God.
possessed like, and it scared me to the point where I literally like I paused the game and went and did something else for like an hour, because the jump scare just got me so bad. And a
Yeah.
second funny. Another funny that there is evidence of, and I'll even pull up a video for the video format of this, but the very first time I ever played Batman Arkham Knight,
Oh.
and I was recording it, and I went and ziplined to a roof of a building, and Man-Bat did the jump scare.
Yep.
I was recording. And that shit scared me so bad that I threw the controller on camera, like threw it in the air. It was like, oh! And then I sat there for a good minute and just started laughing because of like the embarrassment of being jump scared in a Batman game. But it was good.
There was a jump scare in the Arkham game where a patient like was like crawled up in like a cell or something, and you like go behind him and he like jumps at you and starts running at you, but you know you
Yeah.
knock him out real quick. But
And I
no,
mean,
I
Arkham
don't.
City also had it when you find Scarecrow's like hidden lab and there's an inmate dead on the like chair. But the second you walk up to him, he like snaps awake and starts screaming and dies again. All right, Chris, hit me with your next horror game.
So I don't think it's like a horror game, but it's called Inside. And it's a game that came out in 2016, like a really small short game. But it's about this kid who's like running from something, and he's having to do like a bunch of it's kind of like a side, you know, view game.
Side scroller, yeah.
And yeah, and you have to do it's like one of those. You get
Is it
into a
like
room and
the
you
one
have
of the
to.
ones that was like Limbo and
Yeah, it's the inside one though, and but it gets really tense at some points. Like you have to
yeah,
do certain things like really fast, but you have to figure out what you have to do by just looking around at stuff, and
so it's more
it's really
anxiety
like,
inducing horror.
yeah, like I get, yeah, you get stressed almost. You're like shit, what do I gotta do? And then you figure it out, and then. You know, sometimes by the time you figure it out, you know, they get you, or you know, it's a really good game. I think I finished it in like 2 days, like two like good sessions. But it's a good one. I suggest you play it.
I should definitely look into it because it's a game that I've thought about in the past too. Because I think I own it. It was like
It's
a
on Game
game.
Pass as well.
I was gonna say it was either a Games with Gold or it's a Game Pass game.
Yeah. It was pretty stressful at points.
Good to know. Good to know. All right. So for our seventh topic title, I will honestly say BioShock. You mentioned it earlier, and you didn't want to use it as one of your flagship titles, but like after you brought it up, and I was thinking about even doing BioShock as like one of the games for Spooktober, there was something about BioShock that just really, I remember being in high school playing it for the first time, especially one and two. I didn't get really scared with Infinite, but one and two, it was the claustrophobic setting of Rapture. And for me specifically, I have a fear of deep water. Like, I could go out to the lake or the ocean, or I've never been to the ocean, so I don't know about the ocean. But, like, I've gone out to the lake, gone bony, inner tubing, been stranded out in the middle of the water, be perfectly fine. But anytime a video game decides to have a water level, it is the most fear-inducing, anxiety-ridden time of my life. And I don't know why that is. But the simple fact of being trapped in a city underwater with all that glass and just everything, just anxiety-ridden, the gloomy, tense atmosphere just amplifies that claustrophobia, that underwater phobia of mine and everything. And it just was creepy. The splicers are grotesque to look at. They just are mutated. They look kind of like fish people because of the plasmids. Big Daddies were fucking awesome. I didn't find Big Daddies terrifying, other than the fact of having to fight one was terrifying because of how bulky and big they are. But then I even think with BioShock 2, the big sisters that attack you and everything as the Big Daddy was pretty freaky as well. But I'll throw BioShock in that list of games just because of, yeah, it's a good horror game. It's one that still holds the testament of time and is getting a live action adaptation. So fuck yeah.
Oh, no shit.
Yep, Netflix is apparently handling a live action BioShock game.
Oh, okay.
To switch over to Whiskey and Bry, the only other game he mentioned to me is a game called Cry of Fear, which I had to
Try
go.
it.
Yep, Cry of Fear, which I had to go and Google. I am taking a quick look at the game to find out what it's about. I'm looking on Steam right now. But Cry of Fear is a psychological single-player and co-op horror game set in a deserted town filled with horrific creatures and nightmarish delusions. You play as a young man desperately searching for answers in the cold Scandinavian night, finding his way through the city as he slowly descends into madness. Let me look at some of these screenshots. Oh, damn, that looks like a mutated guy with a chainsaw. Dude hanging upside down. All right, so it looks like a bunch of mutated people that you fight, but it's also you look very militarial. But it looks good. It's a free game. So I'm gonna
Oh,
add
is
it.
it?
It is. It is a free game, so I am adding it to my game library, and I might decide to record that with Brian if he ever feels inclined. 'Cause that looks interesting. See, there is a reason why like these podcasts are good. They introduce you to new things. So let's see, that is game number eight, right? Yep, that's game number eight. We're gonna go cry. Actually, you know what? Since I've never played Cry of Fear, and I assume you haven't either, I'm not gonna put it on the list because I wanna keep the list that I'm making in the chat kind of games me and you have both played, which means number four needs to go as well. But Mr. Retro, I'm gonna just name all the rest of his to kind of get all the guest people out since they're not here to plead their case, pretty much. Mr. Retro said the game The Suffering is one of his favorites, which he has talked about on the podcast before, especially in our What Makes a Good Horror Game episode. Me and John have both talked about Manhunt, which is really good. That's a Rockstar game.
Yeah, I've seen gameplay. I've never played it, but I've watched like the gameplay, and it's pretty spooky.
Yeah, I watched Manhunt 1 and 2 get played on YouTube because I can't find it. Even though now on Xbox Game, or not Game Pass, but the Xbox backward compatibility, we can buy Manhunt 1 for like $10.
Damn.
And then the one I will put on this list that John mentioned is Resident Evil 7. And I'm gonna put it on this list for multiple reasons. One, I've played Resident Evil 7, both the base game and the VR version. Both John, David, and Abby have all put Resident Evil 7 on their list of their favorite horror games. So it deserves to be on here, being the fact that it's a good horror game. It's what
Yeah.
brought Resident Evil back into the limelight, and it re-amplified the horror genre, especially for Resident Evil, taking it back to its horror roots with the first-person perspective, the house out in a bayou of the claustrophobic, like, hillbilly just setting was so unnerving. I don't know what it is about possessed children, because I have this issue with the game Fear as well. But evil little kids scare the fuck out of me, dude.
I would punch a little possessed kid straight in their face. I don't care if they're a kid. I'm punching.
Right? I'm drop kicking children at that point.
They're like, oh, just move. Gosh, it, I got places to be.
But yeah, did you ever play Resident Evil 7?
On VR, never beat it, but I played a good chunk of it.
What was your thoughts on VR? Because that was the first Resident Evil to go to VR, and it was
That
one of
was,
my first VR games, so I'm curious.
yeah. Well, it was when the PlayStation VR came out, and I was living in Oregon at the time, and my cousin had just got it on his PlayStation VR, and it was the, I don't think it was the first game because he had Gran, Turismo or whatever. And that was the first game that I had played, and I thought that one was super cool. And then I played that one, and I could only play little chunks of it because I got motion sickness really bad from that game. I don't know what it
Yeah,
was.
you've told me that before.
Yeah, but that game specifically, any other game I've ever played on VR, I've never gotten motion sickness. It was just something about that game. Give me the sweats and shit, and I'm like, it was, but I loved it. I thought it was so fun. I should have got motion, like sickness pills or something to play that one. Wasn't thinking about it at the time, but I
Maybe.
was thinking about getting it, because isn't it on the Quest?
I don't know. 'Cause I don't have the quest. I had one at one point, but now it's no longer here with me.
Yeah.
I have Resident Evil 7 through the PlayStation VR 1, and I'll probably get it again once I get the PlayStation VR 2 for my PS5. But yeah, no. I enjoyed Resident Evil 7 more in VR than I did playing the actual game on like Xbox.
I would assume
Which is
so. It's just.
funny. It's a whole other experience, and I think horror in VR is really interesting because horror games I've played in VR, I've played The Inpatient, which is an Until Dawn like prequel, and I've played The Walking Dead: Saints and Sinners, which isn't really horror,
But
but
damn,
it
does
is horror. It
it
gets
gets
intense.
when you're in houses and stuff, that's where I get like a little leaf.
I think the only time I ever actually was like, oh shit, oh shit, was I was raiding a house and a horde came through.
Oh no.
Yeah. I have a very favorite memory about Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners, and it was when I was first playing in the tutorial part, as it's trying to show you how to play the controls, and it gives you the revolver for the first time. And I was fucking around with it, throwing it in the air, catching it, trying to do like special reloads. And I was like, hey, I wonder if the game will let me. And I just aimed at myself and pulled the trigger. I just flat out killed myself. And I just turned and like, I was like, what? And I just hear my mom in the background, like, did you just fucking kill yourself? I was like, I didn't think he would let me.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, I was do kind of not doing that same thing, but I was in a house and I was there was someone in there that I had to talk to, and I was just kind of messing around with myself. I'm like, oh. And then I was acting like Jonah Hill in World's End or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, I'm gonna shoot myself, and I pushed pulled the trigger and died. And I don't think he really had a reaction. He kind of just stared blank face. He's probably like, yeah, it was probably for the
Probably for the
better.
best. Probably for the best. But yeah, so we got Resident Evil 7 on here on this main list of games. So we have technically three more games I want to add to this list that me and you decide. Now that we've talked about everything Whiskey and Bry submitted, Xan Assassin, Little Crow, Mr. Retro. Because Little Crow, outside of his recommendation, he would also say the Resident Evils, but that's also just because me and Brian, I was the one that introduced Brian to Resident Evil. Actually, I will throw Brian's actual recommendation on here so that way everybody kind of had one that's on this list. And I'm gonna go with Silent Hill. The Short Message. Which I don't think you've played because it's a PS5 only game.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever played a Silent Hill
Are you?
beside that little PT like game that came out in like 2015 or something.
Yeah. So hold on to the thought of PT, but I'm a talk about Silent Hill: The Short Message because it was the first Silent Hill game to be released since PT, and like the Silent Hills game being canceled, which was what PT was advertising. Silent Hill: The Short Message is really good, really short. It's about suicide, but the game brings in a new feature for like the Silent Hill, which is time loops. Not really a new feature because I think Silent Hill 4 mentioned time loops beforehand. But I say it's kind of important because Silent Hill 2's remake just released this month on the 8th. And I've been really wanting to get my hands on it because I love Silent Hill. But one of the cool features, will you get out of the cords? One of the feature or one of the things in Silent Hill 2 remake is they changed up a little bit of stuff, but the way they changed it up still relates to the original game. So there's places where you could look at in the remake of the game where you could see like a location from the original. But like
Yeah.
let's say in the original game there's a scene where you're up on the rooftops and Pyramid Head, he grabs the main character, James, and he shoves you through like a fence that's guarding the edge of the roof. And you go and
Goodness.
you fall off the roof from him shoving you through that. So there is a section where you're up in the rooftops in the remake and you could see that roof. You can't go up the roof, but you could see that roof and you could see that the fence is broken from where
Oh.
Pyramid Head shoved you through. But instead of getting shoved through the fence in the remake, Pyramid Head comes up and he slams you through the ground and you fall through the floor into a basement level of the building. So there's a bunch of things in this remake that like reference the original game and you being in a time loop, which then makes the remake a new game of its own because there's newer stuff. Because the game added like three new endings that weren't in the original game, but you could still get every ending from the original game.
Okay.
So I think Silent Hill: The Short Message deserves to be on there because Silent Hill is very psychological horror as well as grotesque and just monstery horror as well. But psychological definitely plays a good feature in it, and every Silent Hill game just has such great atmosphere. It's like the one thing Silent Hill like knocks out of the park every game. Especially like Silent Hill 2 with the city being all in fog. It's creepy. It's anxiety inducing. And you should definitely watch Jacksepticeye play it, because he's been doing the remake and it's good.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. They have the HD collection for $30, and it
So
looks.
the HD collection is the original game, but brought to what was at that time modern consoles.
Yeah, so Xbox 360.
Yeah. The Silent Hill remake only came out on PS5.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. But I mean, the HD remake is the original game. If you're wanting to experience it, I definitely recommend it because it is just, it's good. Silent Hill 2 is one of those games that forever goes down as like an all-time absolute best horror game. And it's
Yeah.
not even horror as in it will be like jump scare, jump scare, jump scare. It's just the atmosphere and vibe.
Yeah. Looks really fun.
All right.
I could do that a shot.
With Little Crow's suggestion, I'm gonna bring it back to you to recommend a ninth game for this list.
I want to say the Quarry. But it didn't scare, like it was really scary at points, but it felt like watching a really good TV show that you were just able to kind of choose which path, you know what I mean? Never really like made me edge of my seat, more edge of my seat for the story than anything, but it did sure shit get really creepy at some points, you know, woods and stuff like that, especially when you were walking
Oh.
alone in
Oh
parts of the
yeah,
woods. And
no. Supermassive Games does a really good job with creating that like tense atmosphere, 'cause like with The Quarry or even with Until Dawn or all their other narrative-based games like the Dark Picture Anthology, not a lot of those games have a lot of like horror. And I would say The Quarry and Until Dawn kind of fall into the same category of type of horror where it's like a monster horror. Because
yeah.
in the quarry, it's werewolves. But outside of werewolves, there's also ghosts. Because there are at multiple times ghosts that stalk you throughout the game. They don't do anything, but they.
They stalk you. You don't know what they're gonna do. That's the thing. And they, you know, don't end up doing nothing, but
And I mean,
it's
nothing is scarier than the moments of like. The quarry didn't have them as much as, like, I would say Until Dawn. But I'm gonna loop Quarry and Until Dawn into the same category because they're both super massive games and they're both the same horror. But like Until Dawn did it really well with the Wendigos, where it's like you had to hold the controller still because they're like right there with you and it created that anxiety. I think Dark Pictures did it too with like the heartbeat button for like Man of Medan and Little Hope and everything like that. I'm trying to remember. Did the quarry have stuff like that? I know it had moments where you had to like aim and shoot like the hillbillies or a
Yeah, you had to
werewolf.
hold your breath, like you said,
Oh
and
yeah, it did have hold your breath mechanisms where there was the only thing you could tell if you're safe was by like noise. So you had to like really intensely watch as like you're being stalked by the werewolf. Thank you for reminding me of that.
But after so long with the breathing, that
We had I feel like after the first time me and you both did it, we just had it down.
exactly, like it didn't really feel like anything was at stake pretty much after the first one.
Yeah.
Watching Gabe play throughout it, he didn't let go of his breath at one point. Right?
Oh.
He never let go, and he kept going, and the
Oh.
werewolf came back to him, but it was Jacob, and he saved Jacob, so he had the blood on him. So the werewolf didn't really do much, you know, to him. He just kind of scared the shit out of him and dipped.
Yeah, because I as I'm thinking back to it, another scene where we both kind of got frantic was when we had to pass the controller back and forth during the car wreckage place, when one of
Yeah.
them gets in the car and the other one's operating the forklift, because the game's not meant to have like the controller get passed back and forth. I feel like with like the online mechanism where it's like lone wolf or wolf pack, you got multiple people watching, but one person primarily should be the player. But it had intense moments, and I
Yeah.
do think Corey is a good addition to this list,
It
which will bring me to this next one, which I'm in a toss up because I know you haven't played either game I'm thinking about recommending, but I'm going to put in Alan Wake, the first Alan Wake. Because it is a psychological horror that also has like the claustrophobic atmosphere. But the narrative to the game is so good that I want to like boost it up on the list because it was absolutely fun. It was a fun game. The story is engrossing and it takes you in and you get really invested. To the point where it's like you're inspecting all of the other Remedy Media games like Control, Max Payne, Quantum Break, Alan Wake 2, and it's all interconnected, and it's just a very big psychological horror game that deals with light and darkness, doppelgangers. Your weapon is a flashlight because Alan is the champion of light as he fights his evil doppelganger. Scratch, who is the Herald of Darkness. Which I want to point this out. You remember that rock opera I was listening to in mom's car the last time mom came with me to pick you up?
Yeah, that was from Alan Wake, huh?
That is a boss fight, if I'm not mistaken, in Alan Wake 2, in which the song is the fight.
What the fuck?
So it's really, really cool, and I would definitely recommend you checking it out. But a real live band does the song. They're an in-game band called Old Gods of Asgard, which back when they were the champion, they instead of using novels like Alan Wake does, because Alan Wake is a writer. And that's how he fights the darkness, and how the darkness uses him to get what it wants is it uses his books. Before Alan Wake, there was Thomas Zane, who was a poet, and the darkness used his poetry to corrupt the world. Old Gods of Asgard were before them, and they used rock music to fight the darkness. So, in the mission, when you're stuck with Mr. Door, Alan and Mr. Door are kind of having a fight as the old gods of Asgard are playing the song Herald of Darkness, and he gets kind of entranced, forced into the musical as he's performing it, and you watch him perform it as you're fighting a bunch of the Taken.
Okay.
It's really
Check.
cool. I know at first when you heard the song, you're just like, what the fuck is this? Because you even said, like, what the fuck is this? You have a weird taste in music.
I was more fucking with you because I know you were talking about it was from Alan Wake at
Yeah.
some point, because when you said the Old Gods of Asgard, the band name,
Yeah.
I was like, I remember him saying that.
But yeah, the 10th game I add to this list is Alan Wake. If people haven't played it, or if you haven't played it, I highly recommend it. It's a really good game, and it has very intense moments where you're like out in a forest with just a flashlight, and you have shadow people that are just like surrounding you, and it just gets very claustrophobic and just anxiety inducing as you're
Okay.
literally leaping around corners with your flashlight trying to fend off the darkness.
Yeah.
And like a thing for me when I was a kid is I used to be really petrified of the dark, so the game kind of spoke to me in a way as overcoming that fear. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of parallels I draw from Alan Wake, both one, two, American Nightmare, and Control. There's a lot of things that resonate with me, and it just makes me love it. So, we have made a list of 10 games. I am about to give me 1 second. See. So you're gonna see three games that are one, two, and three here on the list. Don't talk about them right now, but is there any other games that you feel like deserve to be on that are honorable mentions?
Jeez, trying to think. I haven't really, Dead by Daylight is a really good.
Asymmetrical horror, yes, I love it.
Yeah,
I
when I
really
first started playing
loved
it.
when you first started playing it.
Yeah, when I first started playing it, it was spooky as shit. Same with Texas Chainsaw.
So I really like the asymmetrical horror genre with Texas Chainsaw, Evil Dead, Dead by Daylight. I think it was a genre that really changed things up. And Dead by Daylight's still kicking. Like, it is still very relevant and popular. And it's to the point where they're making a film adaptation. Supermassive Games have just made a story-based game with the casting of Frank Stone, which was Chef's Kiss, by the way. So I really love the fact that Dead by Daylight still holds up today. And you know what? I will actually put DBD on the list and just summarize both the dead spaces as one category. But now, if you're able to look at the chat menu, we're going to move to the next segment of this discussion to kind of end things out real quick. Give me a sec. In R&R, me and David went through a IGN article that talked about like the 25 top horror games of like the generation, not realizing the article was made in like 2019. But from the list of 25 horror games, me and David came up with the top three that me and him voted on and felt were the top three horror games of the generation. To which, at third place, me and David put Five Nights at Freddy's, being the fact that Five Nights at Freddy's has such a huge cultural impact in multiple ways. There's books, movies, games, merchandise out the ass, fan stories. FNAF, no matter what type of fan you are, has hit every like niche. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we felt like FNAF definitely deserved to be in the top three list.
This is a good one.
With number two, we put Alien Isolation because the AI that controlled the xenomorph was terrifying. Because the AI for the xenomorph itself, I don't know if you ever played Alien Isolation or know
No,
anything.
I've seen gameplay of it though.
So the xenomorph in that game runs separately from the game itself. The alien has its own AI that works
Oh, no
against
shit.
them. Yeah. So it made every playthrough of the game different because there was no pattern to the xenomorph outside of a few scripted scenes where it would come out, which made the game horrifying. That and like the Nostromos is very claustrophobic and everything too. But at
Okay.
number one, me and David agreed that the number one horror game of our generation was Silent Hill PT.
Really?
So, yes, David and I came to the conclusion because one, PT is rated like the most terrifying game. It literally made people shit their pants out of fear.
It
It
was
was
terrifying.
PlayStation's most downloaded game when it came out. And it was the quickest, highest reaching downloadable game, being that it passed the old like title winner for that within like a couple hours. And the fact that it was just a teaser trailer, it wasn't even like a demo or a game in of itself. I am back. Thank you for waiting. But yeah, we voted PT as the number one game of our generation. But that was for R&R. We have now 10 games, 10 different games, that we are going to take three of them and place them in our top three.
Okay.
So, in third place, let's have a little discussion here. Out of Outlast, Dead Space, Stoma, Inside, BioShock, Resident Evil, Silent Hill, The Quarry, and Alan Wake and Dead by Daylight, what do you feel like deserves to be the third best out of all of those?
The third best?
Yes.
I would say I haven't beaten it. I've played a good bit of it. Resident Evil 7, I think, should be at third. I think Corey should be at second, and I think Outlast should be at one.
Ooh, that is bold. I will give you that. But I am coming to fight you on this list. I think Resident Evil should definitely be in the top three, and I feel like Outlast should also be in the top three. Just because the cultural impact of Resident Evil, it deserves to be in top three, just because it's a franchise that's been around for 30-something years. Like, it has earned its spot, and then Outlast really bringing horror back in as a genre, as one of those games that really brought horror back. It deserves to be up there. The first Outlast is petrifying. I will agree to Outlast and Resident Evil, but I take out your Quarry, and I think what would be a better placement to be in there would be either Dead Space or BioShock. I feel like as good as the Quarry was, the Quarry didn't reach like an audience of magnitude as the other two games would have.
Yeah.
Because the Quarry is easily, and even I stated it as we were talking about it, the Quarry is easily overshadowed by other games made by the company and in its genre, like the or like Until Dawn, the Dark Pictures anthology. If I were to think of narrative horror, the Quarry kind of ranks a little lower on that list. It was by no means not a good game, because I absolutely love the Quarry. But top three out of a list of what we have, I would disagree. How do you feel about that?
Well, thinking about it, I think you are completely right about how it's more story based than it is kind of horror.
And even then, with the like the horrorness of the story, I feel like we didn't encounter werewolves a whole lot. Because
no,
you
not really.
Like, especially when me and you played the Quarry, there were times where our own stupidity is what got us killed.
Exactly. Yeah. I've never seen anything really much about Dead Space, but I've seen a lot about Resident Evil and Silent Hill, and Silent Hill's been kicking it for a very long time.
Nearly as long as Resident Evil has.
And it was such a good horror game when it came out on those older consoles as well. You know, there wasn't really much, you know, I mean, there was, of course, Manhunt. And stuff
well,
like
I was
that,
gonna
but
say with Silent Hill 2, the reason why the city was shrouded in fog is because the consoles didn't have the technical know-how to load stuff in, so the fog was actually a loading mechanism.
Oh, that's cool.
Just a little tidbit of nerd information. But yeah.
But yeah, I think Silent Hill should be up there. Maybe opposed to the Quarry.
So we're gonna go with Silent Hill, Resident Evil, and Outlast.
I think that's a good list.
All right. I'm not putting them in any particular order because there's one more thing we're gonna do with this list before we conclude out the episode. So we have two top three lists. We have R&R's, which is PT, Isolation, and FNAF. And then we have Drinking Corner, which would be Silent Hill, Resident Evil, and Outlast. From the six games, if we were to choose a top three list, what would be the top three of these six? Now, technically, I acknowledge the fact that Silent Hill and PT are one of the same. So technically, we have five selections.
Yeah.
So out of the five choices we have, but we will look at PT as the we'll look at PT as the staple one for Silent Hill, and we will look at Resident Evil 7 as the staple for Resident Evil. Which
Yeah.
title out of PT, Alien Isolation, Five Nights at Freddy's, Resident Evil 7 and Outlast, do you think deserves to be in third?
Third, I think probably Outlast.
All right,
And
all right.
that's third.
All right, so for my third, I was once again gonna go with FNAF, but I honestly give me your reasoning for Outlast, and I will give you my reasoning for FNAF, and then we'll make a final decision on third.
Well, just I feel like it's more out of more experience in that game than probably any other of these games beside Dead by Daylight.
Are you
Or
going based off of a playing perspective, or are you going through any information that you know?
well, yeah, I'm mainly gonna go for mainly this game. For the other ones, just the impact on what they did to the horror game, you know, as a whole. But Outlast just scared the shit out of me. But Resident Evil 7 caught me, you know, I have some pretty good fucking points. Maybe it was just a little bit more intense because it was on VR, and you know, Silent Hill because of PT. It's because that fucking game is insane.
So, with Outlast, I will agree with you on Outlast, given the fact that I have played some FNAF games, but I haven't beaten. But with Outlast, I will agree that I do find Outlast a little bit more terrifying than Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
Granted, Five Nights at Freddy's has the bigger cultural impact. It has left a bigger mark than Outlast. I do think Outlast will be third in our definitive list just because of the outright horror that it is a
Yeah.
scare. It is by far in every means a scarier game than Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, and Five Nights at Freddy's does rely on that jump scare aspect a lot.
Whereas, so I think the horror of Five Nights at Freddy's comes from the jump scare, but it comes through the hidden lore, which is its big drawn. Because every game is essentially the same. You're sitting in a one location, blocking doors from animatronics that are going to kill you, but you learn of a hidden story through all that, which is, I think, the draw that people had because every game left you guessing. You never got like the full picture from one game.
Yeah.
Whereas Outlast was very cut and dry. You knew what your objective was. The horror didn't just come from jump scares, it came from the atmosphere of crawling around in the dark, praying to God you don't get caught. So, yes,
Exactly.
Outlast will be our number three. For number two, I think you said your number two is Resident Evil.
Yeah.
And on that, we won't argue because in this new list, I also put Resident Evil at number two. And I put it at number two over Alien Isolation because Alien Isolation, despite it having the good atmosphere, the very haunting AI that just stalked you and killed you at every turn, Resident Evil has the bigger cultural impact. It spawned movies, books, manga, TV series, animated film. It is ingrained in horror history, with Resident Evil 1 holding numerous awards for horror games. And specifically on Resident Evil 7, it brought the franchise back from the dead after Resident Evil 6 was made into an action film of a
Yeah.
game. So I do think Resident Evil as an entity deserves to be there, but Resident Evil 7 definitely, because it brought the franchise back to horror roots. Was petrifying. Nothing scared me more than Margaret. And at number one, the all-time best horror game from the drinking corner. We'll say it on the count of three, and we'll see if we're both the same on this. All right.
Okay.
One, two, three. Silent
Silent
Hill.
Hill.
All right.
Yeah. By far.
And I think it goes without saying, like Silent Hill and PT in general was genre defining. I never had a chance to play the original PT, but like I've played the Roblox version of PT. Fucking Roblox, a child's game version of that game, and it still scared me. I still got jump scared. It still made me feel creepy and eerily, like hearing a Roblox version of the fetus in a sink talk, skin chilling, crawling. It's just,
Yeah, I had it on my first PlayStation, but it was because of my brother-in-law wanted to play it.
I was gonna say, if you still had that first PlayStation and you still had a working download copy of PT, that PlayStation is worth so much money.
Yeah, nope, not no more.
I mean, even if it was on your account and you're able to recover your account and able to re-download that game, it's worth a lot of money because you can't get the game anymore. The only people who could play the game are people who previously owned it, and that is a
Yeah.
rare commodity. I don't even know if you could download it anymore. That's how rare it is. Even if you did own it, I don't know if it's still something you could download.
So trash.
But you heard it here from us. Top three horror games for R&R were PT, Alien Isolation, and FNAF. Top three horror games for Drinking Corner is PT, Resident Evil, and Outlast. Let us know how you guys feel about the list for everybody watching on Spotify or any of your other podcast listening devices. For those of whom who tuned in visually, let us know in the comment section of the YouTube channel what you guys think should be on this list, or what honorable mentions you guys could think of, because there's so many horror games we didn't mention, like Amnesia, The Dark Descent, Slender Man. There's just a plethora of games out there that we didn't even mention or touch base on. So we're very interested to hear your guys' viewpoints. Next week, it will probably be me and Chris again as we discuss horror movies as we inch ever so closely to Halloween in a special Halloween episode. So, thank you guys so much for listening and watching. Remember to hit the like button if you're watching on YouTube. Make sure to leave a like and a follow on Spotify or whatever else you listen on. And we will see you guys next Wednesday. Toodaloo, everybody.
Love you guys.